We've been talking about the heart of worship. Amen. And by the way, if you've missed any, please feel free to grab them on the website. And we've talked about what worship is. We've talked about the commitment to worship. And we've talked about the call of God to worship. And this morning, we're going to dive deeper into what Jesus said from John chapter 4, where he says, those that worship God are going to worship him in truth and in spirit. Now, many times when it comes to worship, a lot of us have been caught into the externals, all right? The externals meaning how the building is set up, meaning how comfortable the building is, how cool, how shabby, or how the team up there is dressed, or if they have their colors, clothes color-coded, if they have all this going together, the lighting, and they have, I mean, do they have the instruments? We look at all those things, and we think that that is worship, or how good the preacher sounds, and all that, and we begin to think that these external things is what makes or breaks worship. Now, I want to say something, that the externals could be fine as far as the instrument, the sound of musician, the dressing and the color coordination and the building and all that. That's fine, but it's not the essence of our worship. The essence of our worship is all internal. It's all heart. It's all driven from the heart, because if you have all the externals right, but the internal is off best, then it makes no difference how beautiful or how light up or how great everything else looks, because if the heart is not engaged, then that worship is not worship, but becomes a show. It becomes another empty thing that's going on. So I want us to realize that the externals could be there, but what makes and breaks worship is the engagement of your heart. Got it? So that's what is the most important thing. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 22, this is probably the most powerful illustration about worship by Jesus in the New Testament. Of course, we find a lot of references in the Old Testament about worship, but here Jesus comes and nails it, and nails it. He's like, if you want to know what worship, this is it. And he says, and referencing from the Old Testament, he brings us all into the New Testament. He says, you worship what you do not know. Now, how many know a lot of people still worship what they do not know? Right? Because it's not an issue whether you will worship. Everybody worships. But what do you worship? There's something in your life that is worth your attention, worth your money, worth your energy, worth your efforts, because of what worship implies worth full. What is worth your life? And we all have some things in our lives that if it's not Jesus, they will captivate us and they'll become worth to us. They'll be worth more than anything else. So Jesus says, some people worship what they do not know. Before I became a Christian, I had things I worshipped, and I had no idea that I was giving them my worship. It was what I did. But Jesus says, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is. Jesus says, it is present. It's now. It's now that when the true worshipers, again, because there's false worshipers of God, but he says when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such. True worshipers. God is looking for true worshipers. God is looking for true worshipers. My prayer, when God is looking for true worshipers, he may find you. And he may find me. That's my desire, that God will find you and find me. And I'll be numbered and you'll be numbered among the worship God in truth and in spirit. Now, God is seeking for that. Now, what does truth and spirit mean? And I did promise before that we want to dig deeper into that and try to understand what does Jesus mean when you say you worship me in truth and in spirit. So, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to try to do an illustration for us here today, trying to explain what worshiping God in spirit and truth means. And if you're on this side, I hope you can still see. I'm trying to get it where. So he says worship. Okay. He says God will worship in what? Spirit and truth. Okay. So spirit and truth. Now, when we talk about truth, how do we get truth? How do we receive truth? Now, truth is received or conceptualized by our mind, okay? And once we conceptualize the truth of God in our mind, it's actually transferred into the heart, okay? So that's where truth is loaded. It's an act of your thought process. I receive truth. I hear truth. So truth now, by my mind, is now locked into my heart. All right? Now, what happens is, before you are saved, your dead spirit, the one that doesn't know Christ, will work on that truth that you have, whatever the truth is, and will generate an emotion. But when you are saved, the Holy Spirit will now begin to stir the truth of God that you have received in your mind, that have gotten into your heart. The Holy Spirit will stir that truth, will brood over that truth, and the Holy Spirit will help you generate what you call a godly emotion. Emotion. Okay, so that emotion that is generated by the Spirit of God is what is taken back to God as, but worship is begun, initiated by God himself giving truth about who he is, conceptualized by your mind into your heart, and the Holy Spirit begins to stir that truth that you have inside of you of who the truth is, and that truth inside of you will generate an emotion that will return to God as worship. So Jesus said that worship is both a thought from here and an emotion. It's both of them. I cannot worship God without truth, and I can't worship God with our spirit. Now, both of them, it's like the bone and marrow. It's like works together. I have to have truth of God, and I receive that inside of me, and the Holy Spirit works with that to generate an emotion that worships God. Now, when you think about truth, let's say, now truth is in two ways, okay? So truth, there's the person of truth. The person of truth is John 4:16, where Jesus said what? I am the way and what? And the truth. So I worship God in truth, so I have to worship him in the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. I am the way. So there's the person of truth, and there's also the written word. That is truth. Still, Jesus, that's why Jesus says, I am the Word, and the Word is me, and I am the truth. Got it? Following? Okay, so here we know that Jesus is the truth, and we know the Word is the truth. Look at these scriptures. Colossians 1:5 says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in what? So if I'm worshiping God in spirit and in truth, also implies that my worship is rooted in the word of truth. It lines up with the word of truth, okay? Look at the next verse here. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also trusted after you what? Heard the word of truth. So you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. The word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Be diligent to present yourself, approved of God, a worker who does not to be rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. So the Bible that we hold, the Bible that we stand on, the Bible, it is their what? The word of truth. So now, if the Bible is the word of truth, that means my worship has to declare the gospel of truth. In other words, my worship is about a story of God's amazing love. It's about God's redemptive power. It's about my depravity as a sinner and about his grace. So everything about my worship centers about the love of God that reached out to save a sinner like me and give me eternal life. Because I'm worshiping God now based on the truth. On the truth that I've been saved, I've been delivered, I've been snatched out of the gates of hell. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I worship God because of what I know. Remember, Jesus said that you worship what you don't know. Why? Knowledge is an act of your mind. When he says you worship what you don't know, it's because the mind isn't engaged in what you're worshiping. But we worship what we know. In other words, mind is involved. I'm engaging my mind to take the truths of God's word, assimilate them into my heart. When I do that, then the Holy Spirit of God, who made my spirit alive, will begin to generate an emotion inside of me of my worship back to God. Make sense? So we know what we worship because we dive into the truth of God's word. I get the truth of God's word, the gospel. So that means our worship is all based on the truth of God's word. It's not just empty emotions. It is truth. In other words, the lyrics we're going to sing have to line up with the truth. We don't just make up lyrics. We don't just show up. Somebody just show up and say, by the way, let's worship God. And I hear the Lord tell me, everybody take off your shirt and worship God. I'll be like, stop. Where is the truth in that? Because I don't know a scripture that tells me to take my shirt off to worship God. So you understand your worship has to be rooted in what? In truth. Now, so God, we got the truth, but now, so if we divide that, now we talk about the Spirit. The Spirit. You see, if you have only truth without Spirit, then it becomes indifferent, dead, religious, indifferent, like a dead religious orthodoxy. You know, not engaged. I got truth, but I got no spirit, no emotion. Okay? I just appear like a dead person just singing about who I don't care about. Got it? Don't be shy. Don't be shut me down. Come on, work with me. You gotta fire me up. You gotta help me out. All right. So, but then if you have spirit without truth, then it becomes this empty, shallow, frenzy, just empty. You're like, what are you worshiping? I don't know. What are you raising? I don't know. It's all empty. It's very shallow. So now, if I'm going to give God worship, what Jesus said, that the Father is looking for those that will worship him in truth and in spirit. Right there. Spirit and truth. That means I have my mind and my thought. All right? It's all going to work together to generate an emotion that I will bring back to God as my expression of what worship is. Make sense? So here's a question. People may be like, okay, but is that the Holy Spirit or is that my spirit? Now, here's what I think, that It's not either or. It's both and. Because my spirit can't bring life to the Father except that the Holy Spirit made me alive. Jesus said, whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. John chapter 3, verse 6. If you're born of the Spirit, you'll be spirit. So in order for me to worship God, the Holy Spirit is birth that life inside of me that I can bring it before the Father. You see, we do this with so many things. We get emotionally invested in everything we really care about. We care about it because we had the truth about that thing, and we got emotionally invested with it. It becomes something. The truth may be irrelevant, may be shallow, may be empty, but we get emotionally involved. I remember while Sonia and I were dating, I got emotionally involved with pork chops because most of our date nights, we just went and had pork chops every night, man. We built our relationship on that, and we got excited on that. That emotion was there, and that was before God delivered me from food. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, we all get involved emotionally in so many things. Some we get emotionally in food. I've seen folk get so excited about food. Really super excited, emotionally excited about food. You can get emotionally excited about a TV show. Okay? I met some people yesterday who could not wait to get home and spend 6 hours watching Game of Thrones. I was like, how long are you going to? Oh, we're catching up. We're going to watch all day long. I'm like, how many hours? Probably about 10. But they emotionally engaged, even sports. And so when Jesus taught in his days, he lived in agrarian culture, and so he would always use seeds as a way to illustrate kingdom principles. And we live in a time where we can all understand sports. Now, in trying to illustrate this concept of truth and spirit, I want you to watch these clips. Here we go.
Trying to stay with Curry, catches one dribble, steps back, puts up a three.
Nope, yep, we got it.
It's over.
They did it!
Okay, so what did you get out of that? Here is the thing. You saw that lady who was screaming, shouting? She had truth. The truth is either she's born from in Ohio, she's from Ohio, right? Maybe that's her truth. I was born there. I am from there. That's the truth. Or maybe her husband was. So that truth, she's received that truth within her mind. She knows it. She's taken the truth, and her spirit may not be a Christian, but her spirit, even dead spirit, over stuff that don't matter, generates what you call what? An emotion. Because worship is not worship without the engagement of your emotion. So she generates an emotion, and that emotion returns back as an expression of worship. And so what does she do? They're raising their hands. They're shouting. They're screaming because it's an expression of worship. They're worshiping what they don't know. Maybe they know in this instance. They're worshiping a team they don't know. But it's a worship. They've got truth. Because if you are born in Las Vegas, that's not going to be your truth to celebrate the Cleveland Cavaliers win. But because she's born there, that's her truth. She takes that truth, gets into her heart, generates an emotion, returns that as worship, and expresses that by her shouts, by everything she's got. Now, we for some reason, we're okay with that. Some reason, we accept that. But if we see somebody screaming for the realization of the goodness of God, the grace of God, we tend to think they're maybe a little cuckoo, they're a little crazy. And what we want to do is distance ourselves from those people. We think because they're a little crazy. And we refuse to accept worship that is from a truth that is built on the faithfulness, the integrity of God. And when we see those people that have taken God's truth and dwelt on it, and that truth generates an emotion, and they return that to God, somehow our churches, we have a problem with that. And the question is why? Now, that lady, her worship is all in truth and spirit. But the unfortunate thing is a one-way worship, because as she shouts, no matter how loud she shouts, she won't get nothing from the club, from the Cleveland team. She won't get nothing. Nobody cares. Nobody knows her. The manager doesn't know her. The manager doesn't care about her. When they write those checks, they won't even know her name. But when I turn my worship to God, as the Father is seeking for they that worship Him, it's not a one-way thing. It's a loop. It's a cycle that as I turn my worship unto God, God says, I see you worshiping me, and I'm seeking for those that worship me in truth and spirit, and my blessing will come down on you. Right? And the reason I'm saying that, it's because we want to take these things we see in the natural, understand what Jesus is talking about, that you need to worship Him in truth and spirit, so the next time you feel like raising your hands, you don't have to look left and right and see who's looking at you. The next time you feel like jumping, you don't have to worry about who's around you. The next time you feel like dancing, you don't have to feel around who's around you. The next time you want to shout unto God, you don't have to worry about who's around you. If you have taken the truth of God's word inside of you, of what Jesus is, who He is, and His saving mercy and His grace, and you turn that emotion unto God in truth and in spirit. I have another clip. Watch this.
Home of the 12th man. We're in Seattle. How about that? We got a little challenge. So what we're going to do for you is we got a chance for you to earn $5,000. All you got to do, watch the NFC Championship in complete silence. No sounds, beginning right now.
Quick stop. Wilson keeps it. Trying to get him going, and ball's out. It is recovered. Alden Smith knocked it out. Into it. And this one down the middle of the field. It's Baldwin. Baldwin down inside the 15. It's Lynch. It's a first down. Marshawn is in for the touchdown. Trouble and now throws. End zone. Caught for the touchdown. Anquan Boldin. This 12th man here is for real. It's the loudest stadium there is in all of football. And now they're going to go for it. It's a free play. Into the end zone. The pass. Caught for the touchdown. Curse. Sideline, he's got Crabtree, and Crabtree is down on first down. Kaepernick slings it. Here are the 49ers with a chance to take the lead. Kaepernick, end zone, Crabtree, broken up. Picked off! Richard Sherman.
unfortunately, as you guys know, the challenge was to stay completely silent for the entire game, so we're not going to be able to give you the $5,000.
Awesome. So what'd you take out of that? Do you see how Jesus says they that worship God must worship him in truth and in spirit? Do you know if we told people to come and just be quiet to God, it'd be easy. But they told them to be quiet because they have a truth. And that truth is, this is my team. This is Seahawks. This is my team. That truth is embedded within their heart. That to tell them to keep quiet, to tell them to shut up, to tell them not, it's torture. They can't do it. And as a matter of fact, it didn't matter how much money was on the line. They forgot because they're fully engaged. Their hearts are engaged into the admiration of their team. And when it was worth a shout, they didn't care about the money. They couldn't help it. They broke into a shout because the emotion that comes with the truth is what completes the cycle of worship. So if I'm going to worship God, I take God's truth, allow the Holy Spirit to generate an emotion inside of me, and I return that to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how worship is cultivated when the Bible says God is looking for those that worship him in truth and spirit. He's saying, in other words, get hold of the truth in the word, in who I am, and take that with an emotion that is generated by the Holy Spirit and turn it to God. That's how they do it. And that's how we need to understand when it comes worshiping God, that it's okay to give God shouts. It's okay to raise our hands. It's okay to dance for the Lord. There's nothing weird or wrong about it. As a matter of fact, do you think the Bible tells you to give God a shout? The Bible says in Psalms 47, verse 1. What does that say? Everybody read that. Come on, read it louder than you are. Clap your hands, or what? All people, and do what? Shout to God with a voice of triumph. If you believe God is giving you victory, if you believe God has saved your life, if you believe, then worship for you is okay to give God a shout, a voice of triumph because of his goodness, of his mercy towards you. And I know what I'm preaching is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because I'm telling you, it's very uncomfortable to be crazy for Jesus. It's very uncomfortable to be loud for Jesus. You know what's comfortable? It's being reserved, held back. But you can't do that if you have truly known the truth that is in Christ, that what God, if you think about that rigorous thought of what Jesus is to you and what he's done, and when you think about the salvation of God, that's why worship matters. That's why we turn our voice. The Bible says shout to God. Shout to God. So when we shout to God, it's not weird. It's not strange. It's not crazy. It is what the Bible says. We shout because there's an emotion. We don't just shout. You ever seen people trying to shout for no reason? It's awkward. It's awkward. There's no, but when there is a truth, then that shout is genuine. It's authentic. So I'm not talking about you coming to church, make some weird noises and just, no, let it be authentic and genuine. And when you bring it forth, it's beautiful in the heart of God. Look at Psalms 94. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth break forth in a song. All the earth shout, rejoice, and sing praises. That's what the Bible says, people. Now, what did David say? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad because there was an emotion that involved with worship. He says, I know what it means to be in God's house, to hear God's word, to give him my worship. And so it's time to go. I am glad. There's an emotion with it. I know maybe sometimes you come to church without any emotion at all. Don't look at somebody. But I'm saying some people just walk in without any emotion at all. But God says, there should be some gladness. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm about to worship God. I'm glad I'm about to hear God's word. There's a gladness with it. It's an emotion. Okay? And the reason yes, go ahead and clap. Yeah. You know, the reason I'm focusing on this part of sphere a little bit, because the truth is, we know the truth. But sometimes we've held back our emotions from the one who died and saved our lives. Now, here is what David did. I want to quickly finish with this story, and then we're going to worship God. Here is what David has fought the battle. They bring back the presence of God, and here's where the story I picked from. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David leaping and roaring before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Some versions say she saw David dancing. David is dancing in the presence of God. Man, David got some moves, man. He's just out there dancing for the Lord. And his wife looked up in the window. It's like, look at him making a fool of himself. What is he doing? He's making a fool. David danced so much that his turbans began falling off because they didn't wear pants with belts like we do. So the man is shaking so much that the little bundles that he's got around him, they all begin loosening. And next thing you know, David is boxes, you know, he's like, I'm just loving Jesus right now. I'm just worshiping God. And his wife, like, the man has lost his mind. Yeah, he lost his mind because his mind was with the Lord. So she despised him because he was dancing and worshiping God. And I know there are places you go today, if you will dance for God, they'll look at you like, where's she from? Who's she? This church, we don't do that. With this church, we are reserved, man. We're just reserved, you know. We just fold our hands and we don't shout. This church, we don't shout. We are quiet. Reverence, everybody. Reverence. Reverence. So you say amen. The churches, if you said amen, they all look around. Who's that? What was that about? I've been to a church like that. I said amen. Everybody looked at me like, who's that? Actually, we were on vacation, I think in Palm Springs, so we said to go to church, my wife and I, and we go to church, and I said, amen. People were like, all these dudes who look at me like, what's the matter with him? I was like, oh, man, I just said amen in the wrong place, you know? But it's what happens, right? But here's what happened. People despise you for giving your emotion all out to God. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle David had erected for the David offered burnt offerings, peace offering to the Lord. So David returned to bless his household. Now watch this. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? That is sarcasm. And covering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant as one of the base fellows, like low class, shamelessly, and covers himself. You know what David said? So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. It was before the Lord. She said, you did that before men. You did that shamelessly before men. You uncovered yourself. And he says, woman, it was before the Lord. I wasn't in a man. It was before. I didn't do that for a man. I wasn't dancing for a man. I wasn't shouting for a man. It was all before the Lord. It was unto the Lord who chose me. So there is truth. So David sees truth. God chose me instead of your father, Saul. Now, if you know that you've been chosen, and you know you didn't choose God, but God chose you. If you know that you didn't love him first, but he loved you first. If you know that he gave you by his grace eternal life, saved your life, it wasn't your works, but his works. It wasn't what you acquired. It was what he acquired for you when he was on the cross, when he loved you enough, even before you were a sinner. He died for you. He shed his blood that you may have eternal life. When you know that truth, as David knew his truth, my God chose me before your father, and is unto him. I understand the truth of being chosen. Right? And he says, therefore, I will play music before the Lord. therefore I will sing before the Lord. I'm going to go crazy about the one who chose me. Do you know what happened to that woman? And I'll be even more, and look at that. Come on, people. And I'll be more what? Oh, yeah. I mean, that is powerful right there. I'll be more what? Oh, yo. You know, we build church services on dignity. You know, you all have to be dignified and be proper and be all that. David says, look, man, he's brought me so far. He's saved me out of my mess and he's given me life, chose me. You know what? When he comes to him, I'm going to be what? And dignified. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to worship God because it's about him who saved me. I have a truth inside of me that generates a great emotion, right? I'm going to be ending five in this, man. I want to stay on that. I mean, for a time, I could stay on that, man, and talk a little bit more. And this would be humble in my own sight. Humble in my own sight. I'm just the grace of God, right? But as for your maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I'll be held in honor, right? And God did this. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children. God said, you're messing with a man crazy about me? You're cursed. You despised him? You'll be despised forever. You despised David for worshiping me. Now you are going to be despised the rest of your life. You'll never have a child. Because she messed with David when David was before the Lord, giving glory and honor to God. Friends, I hope you got the point today, what it means to worship God in truth and in spirit.